Okay.
Okay, let's get into the work session.
Is Al here?
He'll be here in a second. For the March 21st, 2019 town board meeting. Highland Meadows, item 3A, has fallen off. There was going to be a request by the developer for consideration on a modification to a, what would you call it,
A final plat.
Final plat approval, and that request has been withdrawn. So we won't be discussing that tonight.
It's just being tabled.
Yeah, it's gone. 5G telecommunication, I can brief you on this. We passed a motion at the last board meeting requesting that the planning board make some recommendations regarding 5G legislation. The federal government has really restricted local municipalities' ability to come up with limitations outside of franchise dollars requested, aesthetics issues, and placement of antennas. Those three items.
Yeah, fees, aesthetics, and sighting.
And so, Mr. Fratesi, who's our planning board attorney, is working on a similar issue for the town of Manlius and agreed to help us in that effort. And I believe you guys have our first crack at the law. So take a look at it. These laws do exist, I think, in other areas of the country that are soon to be blessed with the technology. So yeah. We're trying not to reinvent the wheel here.
Tim gathered samples of other laws from several states in compiling this document, which you were all handed. And I've only had a few chance to read it through. Yeah. I just got it.
I forwarded the email on, I forgot to bring one for you.
We asked Tim at our planning board meeting if he could help us in this matter to fulfill your requests for input from the planning board. And nobody on that planning board is a legal expert or was that up to speed on 5G. Tim graciously agreed to give us the draft of the work he's been working on for a couple of months to use. It's actually not just for Manlius, he's doing it for several townships.
Communities, okay.
And my brief reading through it, I think he's well on his way to a good document, but it's for your review.
So I spoke with Tim this afternoon, and Tim explained to me, so there's a deadline on what we're going to adopt. The FCC has set a deadline that supposedly by April 15th, whatever we're going to impose for local regulations is supposed to be in place. That's why a motion H is on here. He did indicate, because I do feel that there's probably going to be comments on this and probably some revisions, he didn't feel it would be a problem to table this and schedule the public hearing for our meeting on the 18th of April, and we would still be in compliance because the process has already started to adopt the local law, and the public hearing is scheduled for 3 days after the deadline. He didn't think it would be challengeable. So if you do want to hold off on H until we've all had a chance to truly read, understand, comment, and consolidate all our comments into one version, we can wait a couple weeks on Resolution H if you want.
So, Tony, do you concur with that? Typically, when the federal government sets a deadline, I don't care if it's the IRS or the deadline's the deadline. Can we be challenged if we don't adopt this law by the 15th?
I haven't seen the law. I haven't seen any of this, unfortunately. I didn't get a copy of Tim's thing. And I'm not so sure what the FCC federal regulations are. But, I mean, if I don't disagree that if we're in the process of doing it, at the time of the deadline, we just haven't completed it, I think we'd be okay.
Okay. That's basically what he's saying.
Yeah, they're usually somewhat lenient. I mean, there are certain deadlines that are deadlines, but this is some get it done by such and such a date. And a lot of these things, you may find by April it gets extended because other municipalities may come in and say, you know, we haven't had the time to do this, and it'll extend it.
Okay.
But if we can get it done.
If we can, yeah, if we can.
I'd rather.
Yeah, I mean, I would.
I don't want to hope that the deadline is extended.
So my fear of scheduling the public hearing with the draft and then
changing
the draft all over again, I don't feel that's right. I would rather have everybody review it, put a list of comments together that we consolidate and boil down and then publish what's our final product before we schedule the public hearing is probably, I mean, I don't know if you would agree.
Yeah, I mean, no, if you're going to have a public hearing on something, it should be
the final
that you produce. You can change it afterwards, but it's, you know, it depends on whether you're making it more restrictive or less restrictive, whether you can change it or not without having an additional publication. So it would be better to come as close to the final version as possible when we have the public hearing.
So can I ask a couple of questions? I'm a little bit confused because I'm seeing two things here.
Yep.
And so
there's
and so they have to be melded or?
Yeah. No, the first thing is the thing with the gray square on the side,
yes,
that's printed is the deployment requirements.
Okay.
The other document is the guidelines. So Article 1, the Section 1.1, the box with the this is the procedure, I guess, is the way to say it, of what a permittee needs to do to comply with. This is referenced in this document.
Okay. So this is the document that would be turned into a law?
Yes. And this would be as an attachment to the local law.
So how much variability is there going to be in something like this? Is this not basically a cookie cutter kind of thing that across the country people are going to have, towns and municipalities are going to have to comply with this? And how much energy do we want to put into this?
As much energy as we can. We want to take advantage of what little say we do have.
Yeah.
You know, especially when it comes to fees that we can charge. The more that we can have in place, the better off we're going to be when this technology starts rolling out. It just means that we're that much more prepared.
I would almost say, and they did, one of the things that I noted in the FCC guidelines is it does not restrict towns from putting an escalator on annually. So if you could tie the escalator to the rate of inflation. So if the rate of inflation is 2%, the fee for the next year would be 2% higher than what you started out at originally. So that may be something that, and I have not gotten through the entirety of Tim's documents here, but I mean, it's something that I would think that isn't a bad idea for the town to do. And they haven't restricted it in anywhere in the guidelines that I have, the publication that I read. You didn't read that either. You've read the same thing that I have.
The escalator clause is the one area that the local municipality has some options with.
Yeah.
What you don't have too many options with is the initial fee setting schedule.
Mm-hmm.
You can charge a higher fee than what was suggested in the FCC order, but you must be able to empirically demonstrate that you have a high enough cost structure to justify that, and that it is non-discriminatory in nature relative to other fees you charge to public utilities.
So what's the cost to the town for something like this? I mean, what is it? What's the impact on the town of Lysander?
There's aesthetic impact. There's no cost in that the FCC does put all the burden on the owner of the equipment for power, for fiber connections to these things. The big thing is revenue for our side and how much revenue we can collect.
For the use of our right-of-way.
For the use of our right-of-way. If you don't enact a local law, you can't, you miss out on that opportunity for the revenue.
And this is in line with what? I mean, it's analogous to what we're charging other...
Verizon.
Well, I was going to say that those it'll just with this actually gets into the next thing, topic on the work session, but just like all other utilities that put equipment in our right of ways, they pay a tax. That tax that's determined by the it's not determined by the assessor. It's actually determined by the state. Here's the email from Theresa that I got about this, which Tony's already seen. Form RP 7414, special franchise activity for 2018 calendar year, and the New York State Department of Taxation and Finance actually sets what the assessed valuation of those utilities will be, what the value of the assessed utilities will be based on the 7114 form that we're supposed to submit. And the 5G... I haven't seen anywhere where the 5G equipment is exempt from that provision. So,
I don't think so.
I would think that that will receive revenue from the fee structure plus the assessment assigned by the New York State Department of Taxation and Finance.
Okay, so I don't pretend to be an engineer in terms of. And it requires setbacks and maximum submitted heights and stuff like that. Is all that pretty much non-negotiable, and all we're really talking about is the fee?
It's a big part of it, yeah.
Which I don't have a problem with. So is there a fee number that we should be... Where is the fee?
There's already been an established max, right? There's been an established max by the FCC, right?
Yeah, 200...
Presumptively... set fee schedule by the FCC.
$500 application.
$100
for each.
Each after.
It breaks it down.
So we don't get to set the fee schedule anyhow.
No. Well, this law
you can
represents
set it
the maximum amount we can charge.
Okay.
But if we don't enact a local law, we get nothing other than the assessed valuation.
And the local law doesn't specify a fee? I'm getting
it does. It's page 7 in this document.
This is the
reference to the local
yeah.
Second attachment.
All right.
But again,
I just want to know what kind of homework I need to do.
Yeah, so I would read that first.
This?
That's the FCC requirements. And then read what was proposed by...
Right, but a lot of it is just installation stuff.
Yeah,
it is.
This is not going to be like our telecommunications law. No. This isn't.
You're not going to do a special use permit. You're going to do a special use permit. It kind of takes the. We don't have a lot of teeth in approving these things. But the bottom line is the FCC says they're coming.
Sure.
This is your one shot at. This is your one shot at.
At the stuff that will allow you to
touch.
That's what makes me nervous about not having it done on time.
The first document, the deployment requirements,
yes.
That's the one where it addresses the three areas where the local municipalities have some flexibility.
All right.
It covers fees, it covers siting conditions, and it covers aesthetics.
Well, do we have any recommendations as far as siting and aesthetics that, I mean, help?
I believe in the law that's proposed, that's covered.
Yes,
it probably has
it
setbacks.
Is. I think if you had time to read it,
I will.
Yeah, you'll
see that there's a lot in there that's covered to the extent it
can
okay.
be. Can be. They limit.
Now,
they limit.
Siting is determined by topography, location, everything. Sometimes. They're 500 feet apart, sometimes they're 1,000 feet apart.
So how far off is this document, do you think, then, from what our final document's going to be?
Like, probably not all that far off.
Not that far
honestly,
off.
Honestly, but I want everybody to read it, be comfortable with it. It's a pretty important piece of work that we're tasked with or allowed to be tasked with by the FCC, and this is our one shot at it.
Right.
I mean, Tim's kind of, he did a presentation for the Onondaga County SACPA Planning Federation annual meeting.
Right.
He's kind of the local expert on this area. So it was very helpful for him to be willing to share with us what he's doing for his other clients. And he said there would be no cost for it. So
yeah. You're very close with this document. It's
I would say so.
For a while.
All right. So why wouldn't
we
do it next meeting?
Yeah, why don't we...
That's what that,
but
that,
you want to see if there's something in there.
Well, I can read it between now and the, you know, and the first.
The only thing that would, I think, matter is if it was a substantive change. So if we're limited in what we can consider anyways, mm-hmm. and what's been recommended is consistent with laws that are already in place, I mean, unless we...
Yeah, I mean, it's the board's call. Tim didn't feel that it was as urgent as the FCC made it out to be, and that as long as the process is started for adoption of the local law, it's easily defendable.
This is what I'm nervous about. Telecommunications companies have very good lawyers, and so do railways. And if there's an opportunity to poke a hole and question legislation where the federal government set a deadline, I'd rather hit the deadline. And if it's within our ability, and that this is pretty straightforward stuff, I mean, I would ask, we can always cancel the public hearing. If you guys come across language that you're not comfortable with, or we're not getting quick answers from legal, we can always cancel the public hearing. But to hit the deadline...
I don't disagree with you. I mean, we've run into, with a tax thing, with other things, we've run into situations where deadlines make a difference.
Well, let's make
if we can do it.
Doing our homework.
If we can do it, let's
right.
do it.
Forward it first of April.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. And if there's any major change.
I mean, this came from one of our attorneys on planning board. Yeah. It's not like, you know, so.
Yeah. Not like Tony wrote it.
I would just feel better if we hit the deadline.
That's
for
that's,
the town.
I was just letting,
yep.
you know.
No, I appreciate
yeah.
it.
Well, Tim even made that comment at his presentation. Downtown, because there were three of us from the planning board that attended that. And he said right up front, with the utility people there, the providers, Verizon, AT&T, and Sprint, where they're making presentations, that April 15th deadline is not hard in stone as a practical matter. Now, recognizing the source of the comment, the Verizon representative said, the practical reality is you, the local municipalities, own the right-of-way. We don't. We have to work with you. He says, so we're not going to come running in on April 16th, you know, and say, hey, you guys screwed up. You don't have a law. We can do what we want. But...
Well, based on what the FCC has rolled down, it's more like we have to work with them. And if I was any one of those Verizon, AT&T, I wouldn't speak up and say that, no, you need to meet the deadline. I would sit right there and let an attorney say whatever he wants.
Well, of course, but...
So I think we're good. I'd read through it. If there's something that strikes you as smelling south of cheese...
Or if you have questions...
Yeah, we'll...
questions, we can go back to Tim.
As yep. you say, I started an email chain just... consolidate all your questions, comments into that one email chain, and we'll get them back to Tim, see what he agrees, disagrees with, and then we have this in a Word format. We can just incorporate anything into the document.
I like it.
Awesome.
Okay.
So on to, we had...
First Light,
fiber. So I brought Tony in on this right away, because this is the first one of these I've run across. This First Light Cellular or First Light Fibers submitted a right-of-way work permit to Jerry to install a piece of fiber on North Entry Road to the new cell tower at on the bend of North Entry Road next to the Radisson Stump Dump. I looked it over and I was like, geez, this is odd that it's not from a utility that normally uses our right-of-way, Verizon, Spectrum, National Grid. AT&T really doesn't have anything here either. This was a a name that I hadn't heard. I looked at the looked at their website, contacted New York State Department of Taxation and Finance. They said that they do have other equipment in New York State. This isn't out of the norm. They apparently provide fiber service to cell towers on their own private cell network, on their own private fiber network. New York State Department of Tax and Finance said if we let them go forward, we have to put this FATLAS RP 7114, which I was unaware of. And then in this email chain that I just handed out to you, it's noted that there's another company in the same location that has put in a fiber network
that we didn't know about.
That didn't get a right-of-way work permit. And a 7114 was never filed for them. So I don't know how big of a problem this is. I'm certainly going to work with Tony, and we probably need to reach out to FiberTech and see what they put in, get this 7114, see when they put it in, what they put in, and then get the 7114 form in the New York State Department of Taxation and Finance so we can get some revenue off of this equipment that's been put in it right away that we didn't even know about.
We have somewhat of a hammer over them since they never got a permit to put it in. Our response is take it out. You know, if you don't want to comply with the requirements.
And then put them on notice that any future work that they're going to do in the town of Lysander, here's a PINRAN application, you got to come get a permit before you work on our right-of-way. I mean, I see all the DigSafe tickets, but like this DigSafe ticket, I got it. It's from a subcontractor that I see all the time doing work for Spectrum and Verizon, and it says going from the Verizon pad at X location to the new cell tower on North Entry Road. I'm going to see that, and I'm going to say, all right, it's a Verizon piece of fiber, and not think twice about it. Yeah, you know what I mean? The actual DigSafe ticket doesn't reference even the one for this project. They already called in the DigSafe ticket for First Lake Fiber.
So this reminds me of a time when Verizon was upgrading, or AT&T, I forgot who it was, they were upgrading their cell tower on our site in the village of Baldwinsville. They were running fiber to it. They were getting away from the copper lines and running fiber. And Municipal Solutions, which is the company that we wrote our tower law with, got involved with that and negotiated a franchise agreement because it was an upgrade to a cell tower facility. I think we should at least make a phone call to Municipal Solutions to see what the precedent is here so that we're not missing out on opportunities. I mean, that's one of the reasons why we went with them.
Yeah, no,
they'll let us know. They'll say, hey, yeah, this is something that we're seeing in municipalities across New York State. There's an opportunity to renegotiate a franchise agreement, or these are the procedures that you should follow in dealing with these companies.
Yeah, definitely.
And that's Municipal Solutions.
At this point in time, I haven't given them a go-ahead to do anything, and I spoke to Jerry and said, yeah, until we figure out, well, I'd like to see a needs assessment. Why did we need two separate pieces of fiber going to this cell tower? I mean, fiber optic cable is the bandwidth on it's huge. I mean, you can almost unlimited amount of data that you can fit through a fiber optic cable, especially a 2-inch fiber optic cable. To think that we need to have two of them servicing the first same cell tower seems...
Is that a T, what they call it, T2 or T... They used to break them down into T1 lines, T2.
Well, that's copper, I thought.
No.
That's fiber? Yeah, I don't know. I don't...
T1, like 1-inch, T2, 2-inch? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the... I don't know that... It's just I'm not familiar with that.
Yeah, so...
That business.
Tony, can you reach out to Municipal Solutions?
Yeah. Who's got it? Their contact.
I'll forward it to you.
I was gonna say we've got it in the yeah, we've got it.
All right, so we're investigating this.
Yeah. I mean, if anybody's got any questions or things that they want to ask, let us know, so Tony or I know, so that we can answers.
We're gonna find where we will at some point charge FiberTech for being there.
At the very least, the 7114 will need to be filed so that they pay tax on their equipment in our right-of-way.
They're going to give us a franchise agreement.
All right.
Good catch.
Highland Meadow issue was withdrawn by the developer. Just quick background on that. Mario DiRigo, who's the developer up in Highland Meadows, was trying to get work started on phase three of that subdivision up there. The original site plan that was approved for that area required that before work can continue on home building that the connector road be built. And I think he's had an opportunity to sell a couple lots there, and he was looking to get a head start on it without building out the whole road. So he had proposed putting in a bond or assured, actually doing the road.
Doing a portion of the road.
And having us accept.
Accept it, a portion of the road with a contingency that no CO, he wouldn't request any COs on the houses under construction until the rest of the road was constructed.
We've never done it before. And so then I had an opportunity to meet with a resident up in that area, because it's basically a favor that the developer's asking of us. And he's a good developer. He's not, I don't have anything bad to say about him, but it's an ask. And so in consideration, I mean, obviously there are some issues that the residents up in that area have had to deal with. So I wanted to have an ask myself ready. But one of the things that I really couldn't work around in my mind was the fact that what if the road was not completed? What if the builder walked or the developer walked? And I thought that it would be prudent to ask for either a surety bond or a letter of credit to complete the entire road before we allowed it to move forward. And I guess that was
a deal breaker.
And so he withdrew the request that we were going to consider tonight, which is fine. I mean, we obviously have a responsibility to look out for the residents in that area of the town first, and we work with developers when we can, but there's...
I think that's very appropriate. So what's he going to do? He's going to build those
houses? Yeah, he's going to finish the road and then come in and file a final plat.
Okay. He'll do just what he was
originally
to do for before.
And so, we spoke briefly just prior to, in an informal setting, about a proposed modification to the town vehicle use policy that that I would add to the agenda under item I. And it's pretty straightforward. It's simply a motion requesting to modify the vehicle use policy banning political activities in all town-owned vehicles. Can't imagine that we would have any pushback from the residents not wanting either elected officials or employees campaigning in town-owned vehicles.
I have a quick thing I'd like to talk about. Yesterday we received the agenda. We had three items on the agenda. Today the agenda was updated, and we have some big things on the agenda now. I do not feel comfortable voting for anything to do with spending $110,000 or authorizing up to $90,000 to be done for the spray park. This stuff was just sprung. I was at work. Right around lunchtime, I checked my phone, and I saw this stuff added to the agenda. This is inappropriate. I mean, I made a big deal my first 2 years about agendas getting sent out, stuff getting on the agenda. We've been talking about the spray park for a long time, and I think that we deserve more time to have stuff in front of us to actually look at things. And, I mean, I know the residents didn't know this was going to happen. There may have been people that wanted to talk about this in favor of it. I'm sure that there's people from the spray park committee that, would like to be here, and I'm sure there's residents that would also want to speak against it. But I just had a big problem with this when I saw this today.
All right, so Al, why don't you brief the board on how these items came to be in such short notice?
Yeah, I actually sent them to Joe and Dina yesterday afternoon. Joe was out of the office when I sent them to him. As you know, all resolutions go through Joe, and then Joe tells Dina to put them on the agenda. By the time Joe got back in the office, Dina had left for the day. So we we missed our window. Here's a memo essentially explaining the situation.
Why don't you read it into the
record? Sure. Town of Lysander Splash Pad Construction. As you know, we have bid the Town of Lysander Splash Pad Construction Project twice with a low bid for labor and equipment for the base bid and alternate and additive bid items coming in at $187,121. I would not feel comfortable with the town board awarding the contract to the low bidder for the project at this time. If the town board were to award the project at this rate, the cost of construction, including everything, would completely deplete the grant funding, fee in lieu of parklands account, and the town park capital improvements account without allowing for any contingency or unexpected expenses that could occur during construction of the project. Over the past several weeks, I've contacted many local small contractors and reviewed the project with them. Many of the small contractors I've spoken with have indicated that they would be interested in providing quotes to the town for portions of the project, such as plumbing, electrical, and masonry work, and to give me ballpark verbal figures as to what the portion of the project that they would like to provide a quote on will cost. I've also reviewed the project with Mr. Derek Trolley, owner of DE Trolley Incorporated, about completing the excavation, backfill, drainage improvements, and sanitary sewer force main installation under Onondaga County contract number 2857. Mr. Trolley and I feel this portion of the project could be completed in 20 days for a total expense of $90,000. Using the data I've collected over the past couple weeks, I feel that the total phase one project cost will be approximately $325,000, including a 10% contingency. Due to lead times required for the splash pad equipment and construction materials, I am recommending the board approve motions F and G on this evening's agenda so the project can be completed for the public enjoyment to enjoy this summer. I'll be sending out three RFPs for the plumbing, electrical, and masonry portions of the project tomorrow if the board moves to approve the previous mentioned resolutions this evening. I'll have prices for those items at your next meeting and be able to present my final cost estimate for the project. The reason I'm not presenting the final cost estimate at this time is because it's broken out by the trades, and I don't feel that's fair.
We should bid those. They should be bid.
Separately, but I don't think it's fair to put my numbers that I've been given verbally out to the public at this time because they're unofficial. But as a professional engineer with a 10% contingency, at this point in time, I will say that we can complete the project for $325,000.
And is that 325 the number we were?
It's a little higher than the original phase one estimate was $285,000. We are seeing higher bid costs this year. There seems to be a lot of work out there. From what contractors are telling me, their schedules are filling up fast, and there is a lot of work out there. Apparently, there's a ton of school projects out there that the larger general contractors that would bid a project like this are getting, and it's because they're school projects, their window for completion is pretty tight. They want to get in and start them as soon as possible because they got to be done before school starts again.
So where does the $40,000 come from, the difference between the
part of it is equipment and materials, and the other part of it is flat out labor costs seem to be up.
No, I'm saying if our original budget was 285,
original estimate, the biggest portion of it is increase in labor costs.
Right.
Did that original estimate include a 10% contingency as well?
It did.
Okay.
It did.
So all I'm asking is, I understand this happens all the time, but where are we finding the extra $40,000?
So right now we have $100,000 in the grant funding. Mm-hmm. There's currently $240,000 in the fee in lieu of parklands account, and there's $27,000, I believe it is, in the park capital improvements account. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'm sorry, how much in the park capital improvements account?
I believe it's $27,000.
And that was money that was going to go towards the roof replacement.
Secured another SAM grant for,
and Will Barkley gave us a $30,000 grant to complete that. So we're basically,
we don't need that.
Yeah. So we don't. We're going to reallocate that money.
So we're within the available, the $325,000 number is within the funds we have available. I am surprised at how much we're seeing contractor costs go up. But if there's a lot of work out there, as Bob says, that's when there's a lot of work, contractors don't have any incentive to sharpen their pencil. That's the bottom line.
So we will have, in approving some of these line items, basically what we're doing is we're taking a different track. The traditional model to complete a municipal project like this is to bid it out to a GC, soup to nuts. Comes
GC
in.
GC manages the whole project.
And he gets all the vendors organized and figures out the
subcontractors.
The subcontractors, and they have a schedule. That twice now. The first time was $95,000 higher than we had anticipated. Yep. And then the other one was
in total $62,000 higher.
$62,000. So, you know, we need to be, what we committed to the public, obviously. You know, I'm committed to the project. I've always have been, but not at an unlimited budget.
Right.
And so what we've done is we've come up with a way to maximize our rate of return by going this route.
Essentially, my office will act as a GC for the project.
Yeah.
I don't feel comfortable voting for this tonight. This is a political issue. This is a big issue for this town. It's going to be framed that it wasn't on the agenda the night before, but the next day the town board voted on it. And I understand that we got this information yesterday, but I'm not under the restraint that we have to make a decision tonight. You know, this is higher than what we had originally budgeted for.
Yeah,
it doesn't mean that it's not something that we should still do, but I think voting on this tonight is a mistake.
I guess I don't understand why, Roman.
On the agenda yesterday.
So what? I mean, there's lots of things.
This is a huge issue.
But we've been talking about this for 2 years.
Right, and the people that are against it are going to say that the town board didn't want to hear us again. The town board didn't care what we said, so they didn't have it on the agenda. They put it on the agenda the day of the meeting.
There's no public hearing for this. We're voting on this just like...
Yeah, there's no public
hearing. There's no public hearing, but I still think it should be on the agenda.
Well,
it's just my opinion. I'm a little bit frustrated that things keep showing up on the agenda, big things, the day of a board meeting. I mean, there's boilerplate items, you know, there's stuff that, you know, we get, but stuff like...
Have you changed your position on the water park?
I still think it's a good idea. I'm a little bit concerned that prices keep going up, and I'm hearing a lot of negative things.
How long do you wait? The prices are going to keep going up, Roman.
Yeah, I understand that. I think that...
But it sounds to me like you've actually changed your position on the state park.
I have a problem with something being on the agenda that day, but I've been out talking to a lot of people as well, and I'm getting a lot of pushback from it as well.
So how do you personally feel? I mean, if you're not...
I think a spray park is a good idea for the community. There's a girl in my office who lives in Baldwinsville. She actually lives in the town of Van Buren. She said that she would definitely take her kids here.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So I think that there's a lot of benefits. I have a problem with something that's this political just getting up on the agenda that day. If I'm going to take heat for something, I want to make sure that everything is done the same way.
So you'd feel comfortable voting on this in 2 weeks?
Give me 2 weeks to think about it, and I'll definitely feel a lot more comfortable.
What's left to bid out?
So I have RFPs prepared for plumbing, electrical, and masonry. All our materials we're going to buy off of county bid. We can buy the materials are all available through county bid items.
What's the chances of the other smaller items, the plumbing, the other areas that you said going up? Because you said,
like I said, I got some verbal. Like I've gone out and beat the bushes with contractors, right. Showed them the project, and I've gotten verbal numbers. I'm comfortable with that $325,000 number.
Would you have proposals within 2 weeks?
I will. Yeah, I have the RFP due back on Wednesday, April 3rd. Written numbers due back on Wednesday, April 3rd.
So those numbers won't be on the agenda?
They're due back at 10. I'll do my best. Yeah, I'll do my best to get them. We can put the agenda out with a blank for the number if we haven't had a time to compile everything by the time the agenda is published at 2 o'clock or whenever Dina puts it out.
And that's a little scary, committing to a couple of items and the other three are still out there
Yeah.
Until you know the numbers, but
yeah.
they're minor.
They're from the whole grand scheme of the construction project, those numbers are going to end up being in the 25% range of the total construction cost.
But these numbers aren't going to change 2 weeks from now.
No.
And is it going to change the
groundbreaking
date?
Well, so the lead time on the equipment is 6 to 8 weeks. So
on the spray apparatus.
The control panel and the spray apparatus.
April, May.
That June. Yeah, 6 to 8 weeks. So if we put in the signed proposal tomorrow, it puts us at getting the equipment between the first and third week of May. Which, I mean, we can start the excavation, backfill, drainage improvements, the force main and stuff before that, but it gives us an opportunity to get that equipment on site so that I really wouldn't want to start the plumbing until the control panel's there and set so that I want to do it all at once, quite frankly.
You're plumbing to this.
Yeah, you're plumbing to this, exactly. The other thing we have to do is the aqua tap, which is another 4 to 6 weeks out for one that we authorize them to do that. We have to order the precast concrete structures, the vault for the mechanicals, a couple catch basins. Those are 3 to 4 weeks out. So, I mean, to have this up and running for a peak summertime season in the month of July, I would say in the next couple weeks, if we don't pull the trigger in the next couple weeks, we're probably looking at a mid to late July completion date at the earliest. So you're kind of losing half of the summer.
Yeah. If we don't pull the trigger.
If we
do pull the trigger 2 weeks from now, we can have it up.
It's tight, yeah. It would be very tight to have it completed at the very beginning of July, but I think it could probably be done if we can work the schedules.
So let me ask the board this. Is there anything that the public would say that would change your position? I mean, we've vetted this out for 2 years. We've basically turned down two construction bids in an effort to get pricing down.
I'm not going to change my mind whatsoever. In fact, I'm more committed to this project now. I mean, the town, I'm not losing patience, but has no skin in this game. I mean, we've got grant money, we got money from Barclay, we've got money in lieu of parks. It's not going to impact the taxpayers at all to build this thing. We've scrambled to be able to pay for this thing without putting a giant number in the 2019 budget. And I was all set to talk about the benefits of parks and recreation and why you just got to do good things in the community. So, and I'll hold off on that speech until we vote on this.
I applaud you for that. But, you know, at the same time period, of when I'm going out door to door and I'm talking to people, Bob, it doesn't matter. There's so many people that have an opinion about this. And that even when you go and try to explain,
they're not going to change their minds, Roman. The people who are against it are against it, and the people who love it are love it. And for whatever reason, it became a polarized issue in this community.
It did.
Some people, you're not going to change things. So, you know, you vote whatever way you want, but you're doing your role as a town council to say, ultimately, this is a good thing or a bad thing for this community. You're not going to get. By talking to 17 people and 13 of them say they're against it, if that colors your vote, oh well.
No, that 17 doesn't. But I definitely don't want to be accused of making a decision the night
then
of the
fine,
meeting.
Let's wait 2 weeks, and so we'll open it up in July.
All right, so I can see what Roman is saying, having this here. And all the numbers that you just mentioned, Bob, that's great too, but the truth is those numbers aren't here. If the project can still be done and funded, and kids can use it this summer, if 2 weeks cleans the slate, because you're right, you're not going to change people's minds who are against it. But if the appearance of impropriety is there, you could change people's mind the other way.
So wait 2 weeks?
But you understand...
At least it's on the agenda.
Yeah, I'm fine with waiting 2 weeks. I don't know if Joe or...
Well,
I'm fine, and
maybe we do, maybe we don't, but we're holding a discussion, and I think part of that discussion should be, you know, what Roman is saying. Mm-hmm. I don't want this project to be tarnished any more than this by the people who went out and gave a bunch of fake information already. I don't want to give real ammunition to the fake ammunition that was put out there in the first place. I don't, you know, and the an appearance of impropriety, you know, wouldn't be good.
So first of all, let me say this. There should not be an appearance of impropriety related to this project. We're certainly not rushed through this project.
No, we have not.
I mean, we beat this project into the ground. Basically, by accepting any of these motions, we are rejecting the second bid. We went out to bid on this thing twice. Weren't happy with the pricing twice. We're not shoving a project down anybody's throat. At this point, you are either in favor of the project or you're not. That's my opinion. If it's the consensus of the board that we wait 2 weeks to vote on it, we can wait. But, you know, I've been out there too, Roman, mm-hmm. and I've been surprised at how little I've heard about it. I thought it was a huge issue. It's really not. It's not. And I've been out there freezing to death. So,
yeah.
You know, sometimes things end up on the agenda because we only meet twice a month. Information comes in late. I think this was an excellent memorandum that Al put together. But if the majority of the board wants to mull this over for another 2 weeks, we got to do that. But I'm just saying it's getting to the point where, you know, we might miss a building season. And the kids that are in the community aren't getting any younger. And the people that are for it are going to be for it. And the people that are against it are going to be against it. And unless there's an issue, I wish I could hear some more factual issues why people are against it that we haven't heard in over the last almost 2 years. It is what it is. I mean, this is the avenue that we've come up with that's the most cost effective and hits a time schedule that allows kids to use that this year. But if the board wants to wait 2 weeks to move on it, we can do that. But I'd be shocked if during the comment section in the next 2 weeks we hear anything different than we've already heard.
No, I don't know if we will, but I don't want... The perception already was there was a vote. Why is this spray park even being discussed? That's a perception that's out there. Okay.
It doesn't. So what's your opinion on that?
My position is that we looked for creative and alternative ways to try to come about building it, to try to find ways to...
But the vote was on the bond.
Right.
It was all about
the funding.
It was about funding, but the people still will come out and say, listen, we voted against that. We don't believe in the spray park.
So you think in 2 weeks you're going to change people's perception?
No, I don't know if I'm going to change people's perspective. I'm trying to come up with my own perspective right now, because at the beginning I was very supportive of this project. But I'm not so convinced anymore. Well, but I definitely don't want to make a no vote tonight. But I don't feel comfortable with something being on an agenda. I don't want to use that as a scapegoat not to vote against the project, though. I want to be able to vote yes or no on the project based on the project. That's all.
I would like to go on record also to say, just Joe, I know there has been no impropriety here.
Mm-hmm.
It's the appearance of impropriety that I...
There
shouldn't be, but you know what? There shouldn't be this big of a headache over park improvement in the first place. So people make hay out of all kinds of nonsensical things. So I agree with you, and if I had to vote, I would vote, and I would do what I have to do. But on record, I know there's been no impropriety here. No. Absolutely not. So...
This board has met. Every conversation we've had regarding the spray park has been recorded. It's been at a town board meeting or a work session. No, I'm not saying that there's any impropriety, but it doesn't mean that this is still not a significant issue for the town.
My only concern. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I am all for it, and I'm ready to vote tonight for it. I would be a tad more comfortable knowing the other three bids instead of blindly going into this and
not knowing what 25% of the cost of the project is.
Yes.
Because the project is already higher than what we anticipated.
And even though I'd love to get this thing going, Joe, you know, I think we opened the Boundless Playground in the middle of the summer on Eagle Lake Park. I mean, there's still going to be 6 or 7 weeks of hot weather. And if that makes Roman and Pete more comfortable, and the numbers come in to support the 325 number, or whatever it is, and two weeks is not going to be a killer in terms of enjoying water.
Time frame, you think we can still?
On the agenda for April 4th?
I mean, it's going to be to, really depends on if we're going to meet the, you know, beginning of July. It really depends on when the equipment arrives. I mean, that's the bottom line. I mean, that's when the equipment arrives on site is going to be what dictates when the thing can open, you know.
Have you had any communications with Trolley as far as their availability for the project?
He said he would make a four-man crew available to me for this project. He supports it. He did one of these for the city of Syracuse last summer. They're versed in it. They know the ins and outs of it. He said he's got a crew that did the one for the city of Syracuse that we can have to do this one. So we've got a workforce that knows this equipment, knows what they're doing. He says that because right now the county and the city are behind on letting out additional work that he's under contract for. So he has availability this spring to get this done for us.
And I appreciate your diligence, Al. I mean, you've been really interested in just being aggressive on this thing. So
this is not the conventional way we do this stuff.
It's going to eat up some of your time.
It is, but that's okay. That's what I'm here to serve the town. I love construction, so this is just like designing this was a fun thing for me. Managing the construction process will be too. Engineers get into this stuff. It's
so
good.
The town, tell me, we're allowed to hire a GC because we can't do that in the county, right?
To GCs.
We have to bid out the subs in the county.
And it's so the
because the county is the they're the contractor.
The Taylor law requires that if it's over a certain value, it's the value of the total value of the project, we fall under that. And our procurement policy is capital projects up to $35,000, we can do an RFP process and get three written quotes. Good. So we're those three trades that we have left are going to be under $35,000. We're under the threshold.
Joe, it's your call. I think you got
it's
the votes. You got the votes tonight to pass it. So
I don't want it. Like if there's a consensus on the board that they want to see what the other part of the project the numbers are, mm-hmm. I think that's a reasonable request. I'm somewhat. If it was going to impact, if we weren't going to be able to get this thing done this building season, I'd vote on it. I'll tell you right now, I've never been shy about it. It's a great project. It's fully funded by developer fees and grants. No local tax dollars are paying for this facility. And our budget included anticipation of the possibility of having this project completed, and the parks budget dropped $2,000 this year. So we can table it. You're confident that you can get those numbers?
I will get the numbers.
Okay.
I will shake the bushes and find three trade contractors that are willing to give us a quote on this. The only one I'm a little nervous about is Masons. Masons seem to be scarce. There's just not a lot of them.
You're talking about concrete.
How big
a part of the project is the masonry, is the concrete?
Hey, you've got six. You're going to have, I estimate that a masonry crew is going to be on site for 6 to 7 days total.
So give me a number of ballpark.
Around $30,000.
Yeah, so if you get all the other numbers but that one, that'll put us in.
That's only 10%, less than 10% of the proposed.
Yeah,
yeah.
So do your best on getting as many numbers as you can.
Okay.
If you can't get Mason numbers, that's only 10% of the project.
Yeah, I would love to use, we've got some talented Masons in the highway staff that could do flat work, but they're flat out that time of year. Okay. I mean, they're absolutely flat out. It's just not a possibility. They have other higher priorities that have to be dealt with in our limited construction season in upstate New York.
If that was 60% of the budget, then but it's only 10% of the budget.
Yeah.
So even if you don't get that number, I can't speak for anybody else. I'm so comfortable with if the other numbers come in the area where we think they should be.
Okay. All right. So,
does that?
I appreciate the postponing the vote.
So that's item G
and
item F
or F and G.
F and G.
Almost every fuck. How about that?
There you go.
G. Added on mine.
You might want to. No, I don't think I should have to after you asked me to go get them. He asked me to look into a chess program.
Oh, cool.
And the instructor who teaches the chess club at the high school is going to volunteer his time to come out and do a chess club at the park.
Oh, cool. Tanner would be into that.
Well, you know, we're not. We're going to get approval tonight.
Oh, okay. All right.
And then what we'll do is probably in 2 weeks, I want to get on board enough time.
Oh.
No, I won't change.
Thanks. Okay, so.